The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Passerby, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. It's your chance to have your say by calling 66 13 68. You can WhatsApp or message on 166 177 or email studio at maxradio.com. Well, it's Health and Social Care today. The Minister for Health and Social Care, Claire Christian, MHK, is with us. Also, the Executive Director, Tim O'Neill. So, if you want to get in touch with Health and Social Care, not Manx Care today, Health and Social Care, then by all means. You're on, the floor is yours through till one today. So, Fastamai, good afternoon, Claire. Good afternoon, Tim.
Fastamai, Andy.
Good afternoon.
Fastamai, good to see you. Claire Christian, if you could just, for new readers, start here, the difference between Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care.
Thank you. Andy, thank you for inviting us on this morning. So I think it's a really good start, starting point. Manx Care, obviously, are the provider of our healthcare services, and they are responsible for the delivery of those services. The DHSC are responsible for the strategy and policy of our health and social care services. And I guess that's the difference between the two of us.
Okay. Tim O'Neill, you've got experience both sides of the fence.
Yes, I have, Andy. Thank you. Just to clarify one thing, I'm interim chief officer for the department.
Oh, right.
Been in post a relatively short time. But yeah, I've got some experience in UK across local government in recent years, which is, I think, of some help to us on the island. But obviously, we're unique in lots of different ways. And I'm very conscious of that.
Okay. So, Claire Christian, what's at the top of your in tray at the moment? What's taking up the time?
So, I've got five areas of focus right now, Andy. The first couple, which I think obviously Manx residents will be our key for them, basically reducing the dental waiting lists, making more accessibility to the GPs across the island, reducing cancer waiting lists, bringing obviously the funding and the bringing us back to balance. And the fifth area is obviously the integrated care, bringing that into the community.
Okay, so if you could just put this in order, there's obviously a big hole somewhere. Do Manx Care tell you about it? Do you know before Manx Care do? Well, how does it work? And then obviously you have to go within government, within Comin, and fight the case for DHSC. So if you could just put it in order, how did this happen, and what are you doing to get us out of it?
So are you talking about it just in terms of operationally how we're advised
just
things,
just
Andy?
The big hole in finances.
Right, okay. So obviously coming into this role, as it's been classified in the past, there have been overspends. When I've come into this role, basically, I've looked at it very, very quickly in the sense that I want to understand, are we overspent or are we under budget? And Andy, actually, it's probably somewhere in between. That's the sort of the what we're finding when we're sort of lifting up the stones. There are certainly, obviously, that's why Manx Care have a cost improvement program, which does generate efficiencies across the organisation. However, we are under a great deal of pressures externally. That could be, and I think what's really my job is really to kind of open that transparency to the public so they understand when we say overspent, is that growth in areas such as drug cost growth? So for example, Andy, when I talk about that, it's not just about the rising increase, but also there are national shortages across the UK currently where certain drugs which we would have or Manx Care would have planned for are sort of, 100 times the cost because of their national shortage. So these sort of drivers are extremely important when they're in year and pushing up those costs for Manx Care. So it's about managing those. It's about being able to identify those very early and quickly and predict what they are going to need in terms of that. And obviously there are other areas that are external to Manx Care. You know, you're probably extremely alive to the doctor strike in the UK. You know, there's bound to be ramifications of that are coming down the line in terms of our own consultants and doctors. And you know, pay is extremely important for me, and it's extremely important that we do pay our staff you know, to what they deserve. But it obviously that does put a pressure onto the finances of Manx Care.
Okay. And again, anybody who's followed Manx politics in the last 20, 30 more years, this always happened. Even when it was DHSC, the minister was always coming back for more money. And we kind of thought it had gone, that you know, you separate the operational and the policy and what have you, and everything should be okay. So it just seems like it's Groundhog Day. It's come back, and obviously each successive minister has had to pick up this hot potato and deal with it.
I think that certainly what I'll be or I am looking at is the baseline funding. You know, getting that right from the start has been exceptionally important. And you know, whilst you know, it's easy to put a sort of simple calculation onto something, it is not that simple in healthcare. And, you know, I'm not going to try and hide that, you know, and say, oh, yes, everything will be fine. It isn't. You know, we do have to react to a lot of different scenarios within this industry. And it's really important that you've got the right people there dealing with this.
OK. And just to, as you say, there are outside factors. So obviously the labour costs, the problems with the unions, and the fact that drugs normally go up in price. Sometimes they come down in price, but obviously, and there are some big ticket items, a lot of the retrovirals and things like that, cost thousands and thousands and thousands. And unfortunately, you and Manx Care are the people who have to say to people, I'm sorry, you can't have that. So who makes that decision?
So ultimately, you know, the in terms of, you're right, there are drugs that can cost them, certain cancer drugs that can cost over, you know, into the hundreds of thousands of pounds. And that's because we are getting better. You know, technology is getting better. And that's obviously a huge benefit. We don't want, or Manx Care certainly don't want to say no to that. And as far as I'm aware, you know, that's not what's happening. The one thing that has been different this time, Andy, is that the Treasury have allocated a contingency fund, which is to the sum of £10 million. And that's the sum of money that Manx Care can put through a case through the DHSC, through to Treasury, for those events where something like that happens, so that the proper care can be given to the Manx public.
Okay, and to Tim O'Neill, so interim chief officer this is. Tim, where do you see your role?
Yeah, so great answer by the minister. Just to add to what she said, which will help answer that question, part of our role is around accountability. So you might describe that as a commissioner role. We're relatively light on commissioning capacity in the department at the moment, and as you're probably aware, we're running a governance review at the moment over the summer to help us understand how we can continue to improve the overall governance arrangements of Manx Care and the department. In really simple terms, my job is to both challenge and support. That's it in a nutshell. I just scribbled down as the minister was answering there. The other side of the coin is driving greater efficiency within the system, which Manx Care are totally on board with. And that is a long-term vision, that we create a more efficient system for patients, but also for those who access social care services, mental health services, etc. So it's really a challenge and support role, working quite closely with Manx Care, but also making sure, you know, they're the provider and we have an arm's length arrangement, and you know, I report back into government.
Okay.
I think Andy, just on that, the governance review, you know, I'm acutely aware of the Manx public and that they want accountability. And right now, the way that it's set up is that the DHSC currently, you know, I'm the minister, I would stand up, but I'm not involved in the day-to-day, obviously, the operations in terms of any organisational decisions. We commission that to Manx bank's care. And that's really what we're looking at in terms of the governance review, because we understand that what the public wants, they want more accountability. And that's something that I'm very, very, you know, alive to, and want to challenge the system that we have right now, and do what's right.
Okay, let's get to the lines now. Brian's with us first of all. Hello, Brian, you're live with the Department of Health and Social Care.
Good morning. Good morning, Claire. Good morning, Andy. Just a quickie. It must be a near impossible job to budget for your health department. Do people who come to work in the Isle of Man, if they have half a dozen dependents, are those dependents entitled to free health care? Or how do you cater for that?
Hi, Brian. Thank you for calling in today. So you're absolutely right to raise that, and I'm so glad you have, actually, because so at the moment, the current system, whether you come in from the Common Travel Area, which is obviously the UK, Northern Ireland, etc., you obviously have access in a similar way that we have access to the UK to healthcare. But also, it is also free for people coming in through work visas from outside of the Common Travel Area. But this, Brian, was actually something I tried to push through as a backbencher, which was the immigration healthcare surcharge. And I am pleased to say that in July, the next step certainly went through Tim Wald. It was agreed, and we'll be looking at bringing in, now the Treasury are looking at bringing in, an immigration healthcare surcharge, which would include, back to your original question, the individuals coming from outside of the Common Travel Area and their dependents, and they would have to pay a surcharge, a fee, which is probably going to mirror the UK, which is about £1,026 per person per year for the first 5 years, and I think it's less for children. I think it's 500 or so for their dependents, but this will be a really good thing, because I know that certainly from my perspective, when you go to get the GP, or when you go to get the hospital, you want to know that the people who are standing next to you in line have contributed in some way to the healthcare. We're not expecting dramatic amounts of revenue from that. It could be anything. I think the last update on that was anything sort of in the first year between £1 million, and then by 5 years it would be sort of three to five million, but absolutely everything counts. I'm not going to scoff at some earning an extra 500,000 revenue. When you're dealing with these large numbers, every single penny counts, and I do feel that people coming from outside the Common Travel Area should be contributing.
Okay, Brian.
That is absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
That's exactly what I wanted to know, and very clear. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today, Brian. And here's Maureen. Hello, Maureen.
Hi. Basically, I've just been hearing rumours about Ramsay Cottage Hospital, that there are going to be ward closures there, that it's possible nursing staff will have to move to Nobles, and if they're unable to, that they obviously won't have a job. That it's going to be mainly for health and social care, i.e. taking people out of Nobles who are clogging up beds, presumably, and moving them up to Ramsay. So the care people at Ramsay probably will be okay. Also, that there may be procedural closures.
Okay.
You may be able to help on that. Just let us know what procedural closures. I know that they do x-rays and dermatology clinic up there, and the blood testing, A&E, obviously.
Okay, all right. Broadly then, Claire Christian, the future of Ramsay Cottage Hospital.
So thank you. So you are right. We were advised, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, what the scenario is, and certainly Tim probably is going to be a bit better in explaining this, but my understanding is that the hospital beds was not being utilised to full capacity, and I think it was about at 70% for the majority of the time. So in terms of making the efficiencies, what they're looking at is reducing that down to the 70% being the fully operational, and making best use of the staff From what I understand operationally, and certainly what I could do, Maureen, is we could take your details, and we could get more information just as reassurance on any procedural closures. As far as I'm aware, there aren't any planned, but we can certainly confirm that. And in terms of the staffing, which is obviously very important, my understanding is obviously the staff would be, if repatriated, obviously to Nobles. But as I say, that's it's quite an operational move that you're discussing. And I certainly, it's great for this to be discussed today, because what we can do is we can pick this up and put out a wider press information on it, so that it's not rumour and that it's not speculative, so that the public are aware.
Okay, any more?
Yeah, just very quickly, Andy. So thank you for the question, Maureen. The beds that you're referring to, I'd probably describe them as mothballed rather than closed. So the way the staffing works internally within an environment like that is obviously it's staffed to the capacity that's required. And ironically, what the 20 or so beds that are currently being used indicates is that the step-down model of moving more patients successfully and safely into the community is beginning to work. But that's certainly not, as far as I'm aware, a kind of read across to the closure of Ramsay Cottage. And as Minister quite rightly says, we can provide a fuller note to you on that. But also, I spoke to an executive only this morning, actually, about this, and there is some commas we can prepare and send out to colleagues, just to members of the public, just to assure.
Okay. Maureen, if you're happy to share your details, I can certainly write to you personally about that back, and we will ensure that a press release goes out to the wider public.
It was actually the bed closures. If you're 70% and you're knocking it down to 10%,
Sorry. So just to clarify, so what I said was the capacity was working at 70%. So not at 100%. So what we're doing is they're reducing it to the 70%. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're docking it by 30%.
Okay.
Yes.
Maureen, are you happy for us to keep your details and for Claire to get in touch with you?
I will do, yeah. But on top of that, just a point about dentists. I've had to go private because I couldn't get onto the NHS one. On top of that, I had a tooth that broke off over 2.5 years ago into my gum. I've waited 2.5 years for an operation on that. As a result of that, it had crumbled in the jaw, and I had to have incisions in the gum to remove it. Now, another one broke off 2 months ago. He was able to remove that one without any problem at all.
Where did you have the operation, Maureen?
On Thursday.
Whereabouts? Nobles?
In Nobles.
Right, OK. Well, this whole point, Claire Christian, about national health, the national health, the dentist provision on the Isle of Man, it's like a running sore, this is. It doesn't seem to get any better.
I agree. Maureen, I'm terribly sorry that that's been the scenario that you've experienced. As I said at the very beginning, dentist waiting lists are absolutely one of my top priorities. So what are we doing about it, just to generally, because obviously I can't turn back time, unfortunately, to help you sort of 2.5 years ago. We're currently looking at, or Manx Care are looking at, what's called the UDAs, which is the and levelling, and it's sort of making that UDA, which is the payment for the each unit of delivery of work, and raising that and making it equal among all of the dentists. And what they're anticipating with that is that will mean that the dentist should, in theory, pick up more of the NHS work to reduce the dental waiting list. And we're hopefully going to be making some announcements in sort of September and October time around that piece of work, which has been absolutely driven with force from our side, from the DHSE, and also from Manx Care. Of course, once we hopefully the dentists will start to uptake some new appointments, what certainly I've asked is that they concentrate on picking up the children, to get the children off the dentist waiting list first as a priority, because that's exceptionally important, I think, for the island. So I'm really glad that you've raised that question, And as I said, I'm really sorry that that's the experience that you've received here on the Isle of Man.
Okay, Maureen, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today. And Claire will be in touch with you. And let's get to back to the lines now. And I'll find Brian. Brian's going to be with us. Hi, Brian. You're another Brian, by the way. You're live with the DHSC.
Oh, there's loads of us, the Bryans. Good afternoon. I'd just like to ask the Minister whether she and her fellow colleagues actually get a feeling of the dissatisfaction and the general malaise around the Isle of Man, where people feel that the government, not just this one, but the past one as well, are just letting us down. They're not running the island properly. Our healthcare, as we all know. I've lived and worked on the Isle of Man for 50 years. Well, for my whole life. And I've paid over 50 years into the National Insurance and Tax System. And now they want us to pay more tax to cover the shortfall in the health service. What about things like, we've spoken about the people coming to the island having to pay a levy, which will hardly scratch it. I can't get to see a GP, 6 weeks on average. Dentist, 18 months if you're lucky. You're seeing people getting poorer in the pocket. You're seeing, to me, the island's in decline. The quality of life has plummeted. Do the government not see all this?
Just tell me, first of all, Brian, which GP practice are you having trouble getting to?
Well, I'm up at Palatine. They inform me they've got 12,000 patients on their books. You've got doctors, the GPs, some of them only work a couple of days a week. You're just not getting into them. I needed to see a doctor a couple of weeks ago, and I was told that this was at the beginning of July, and I was told they were not booking any appointments until the end of August.
Okay, all right, Claire Christian.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for calling in. So just to answer your first question about dissatisfaction in terms of the government, I am absolutely aware of the dissatisfaction around the general public. I'm lucky enough that I do have quite a good, I think a really great constituency, and that my constituencies, people do contact me, and obviously the wider Isle of Man. And having been a backbencher, I was aware of, challenging government and saying this is what people want. Which is why when I've come into this role, and I feel very, very lucky, Brian, to be in this role, to take those challenges on. Now, I don't want to set myself up here. I do not have a magic wand, but they are my absolute priority. And you spoke about your GP, and dentists. So sometimes things aren't all actually monetary led, and actually standardisation of GP contracts is also part of that package. So we need to look at how dentists actually operate in terms of making appointments, etc. And particularly the one that you're speaking about, I'm very aware because a lot of my constituents are signed up to Palatine too. You have to, ring in that first week of the month for the following month to get a routine appointment. And obviously you can call, alternatively you can call on the day and also you can get a telephone appointment back. But there are other practices which do have different style of organisation in terms of the making appointments. So for example, Finch Hill, they have you can book your appointments obviously online. They open up the appointments on the Sunday before. People can book them. Those appointments, either calling in or making them online. They also put together certain appointments during the day and amount of appointments for the emergency ones, but also they have a list which the GPs will look at. So if you have called up and they've not been able to fulfill that, then the GPs will look at that list. It will accumulate and they will prioritize and usually get people seen within 48 hours.
So how will the new contract help people to see their GP more often?
So in terms of of, as I said, it's quite an organisational situation. You know, this is inherently something that has been, standardisation hasn't been addressed. And it's obviously quite delicate because these doctor surgeries are independent surgeries.
They're businesses.
And so we have to approach this collaboratively and give them the support that they need to be able to standardise across the island, right. So that it's not a postcode lottery, and so that people can, you know, generally on the island know exactly what the waiting list is for and how they can get an appointment, and, you know, whether they're with Palatine or whether with Finch Hill or whether they're, you know, elsewhere on the island.
Okay.
So I do, Brian, I do hear you, and, you know, certainly from when we did the road shows, you know, what, you know, I would probably say 50-50. The people that came to speak to me, 50% were, you know, dissatisfied. And what can you do? And what, you know, hear what's happening. And the other 50%, I'm pleased to say, were very much, you know, Manx Care have saved my life, and they absolutely, you know, have done so well, and I can't fault them. You know, I can't fault the people that when you do get to see the doctors, you know, that actually our care is absolutely brilliant on the island.
So obviously, if the UDA, the Units of Dental Activity, if the price goes up for that, the dentists will be happier, and if the GPs, obviously running their own business, but obviously they're committed to the care, if that circle can be squared, then it should get better. When do you think it will get better, Claire Christian?
That's a very good question. So, as I said, for the dentists, we're hoping sort of, you know, September, October time to be able to sort of see and possibly make an announcement. I don't want to apprehend the good work of the team before we've actually completed on that, with Manx Care have completed on it. In terms of the contracts, that's a little bit of a longer conversation.
Okay.
Just to add briefly,
Andy, if that's okay. So the other initiative is around building capacity around GPs. So our virtual GP model, which has been tested up in Ramsey in the north, and also, you know, increase the number of allied health professionals, as we call them, so other types of professionals to deal with, to help support the GP to do primary care more effectively. So it's that work as well.
Yeah, and I think so initiatives, and I'm not sure a lot of people, I went to visit the MISH Centre, which is the Manx Integrated Sexual Health Centre, last week, and actually initiatives like that started up 18 months ago. So what they're doing is driving all of the appointments across the island for sexual health to that one facility, so that does free up appointments within the Isle of Man in the GPs to deal with other things. So there are some really good initiatives that have seen an impact. But Brian, I can understand it doesn't change, you know, and that's my task to get it changed.
Okay, all right. Brian, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. A note in, this is from Alan, who just said, my niece, who is British and a Canadian husband, moved back to the UK just over 2 years ago. Her husband had to pay, is this right, £37,000 to be eligible for the National Health Service as he moves to the British Isles. Well, if you could confirm, is that £37,000 or is there a comma in the wrong place? Anyway, a note in also from 236 just said, we're the same at Palatine. I was told to wait till September for appointments. I called on the 1st of July and also on the 23rd. It doesn't look good. It is important to say, Claire Christian, as you say, that good news doesn't often make good news. So the majority of stuff that's done within Manx Care works really well. But obviously, when it doesn't go well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and people will complain. And as you said, your constituents won't be backwards in coming forwards on this. So genuinely, I mean, on the doorstep, what's the feeling like?
So just to come back to Alan's point, I can't remember all the costs, but there are additional immigration costs not to do with healthcare that an individual would have to pay. We don't have those same costs here, but there are additional costs. They're obviously on the UK government website, so it won't be that was all for the NHS.
Okay.
But just coming back to your other point about on the doorstep, actually, I went round around my constituency recently, dare I say it, for the 20 mile per hour, reduction in 20 mile per hour on the island for my constituents. And it was really, really interesting. In terms of sort of speaking to people, and they're very much, the government have just made this decision, and that's what's the point in me telling you? And actually, I can only do what I can do, and I can set, I will take your comments back, and I will see whether you're for it or against it.
Right. Okay.
And again, that's a scenario where you're never going, it's politics, you're never going to get an overall yes, we should absolutely do that, because there are some people that were for the two roads that are in my constituency, the overall was actually, again, a 50-50, yes, make it 20, no, don't make it 20, leave it 30. So it will be interesting that what I'll be looking at. But from that, I did have some follow-up calls and follow-up meetings, which were really, really good, and they were about Manx Care, and they were about our health service, and hearing those examples and those stories are really important for me. Being on that is as close as I can get to the front line as possible.
Okay, Tim O'Neill is here. Tim is the interim chief officer for the Department of Health and Social Care, and Claire Christian MHK is the minister, and we're on till one.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Where has a five-star selection of hand-picked quality cars?
Manx Car Store!
Where are you guaranteed a five-star friendly professional service?
Manx Car Store!
And where has five-star prices on cars covering all budgets? That's right, Manx Car Store on Kirby Farm Industrial Estate, open 7 days a week. To see their range of quality cars and over 250 five-star reviews, just visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook. Manx Car Store, a place you can really trust.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830-722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Man in Line's on till one today. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy, and hello, Claire and Tim.
Hi, Julian.
Hi, Julian.
Hiya. The 2% levy proposed by Treasury, as there hasn't been an independent audit and report, isn't this levy just excusing overspending and lack of accountability and effectively creating a new stealth tax? And is it legal, considering that we already agreed to pay national insurance?
Thank you, Julian. I'll just pick up on that, and I believe the Treasury Minister was on Manx Radio doing an interview on this. So In terms of the 2% levy, this was, you'll remember where this came from in terms of they increased the tax by 2%. And at the time, it was very much, we will have to introduce an increase in or a separate NHS levy. And this is obviously then it reduced back down to 1% last year. And now they're doing the consultation on this now. And the Treasury Minister is only bringing forward the results of the consultation. As far as I'm aware, nothing has been decided. I certainly haven't seen the results of the consultation yet. One thing I would say to you, Julian, is my job is to make sure that holding Manx Care and the DHSE in terms of to account and coming in on budget, and where they can't come in on budget in terms of their the costs which I spoke about earlier in terms of the costs that are outside of their control, that we have the mechanisms to be able to afford that. If you were to ask me as an MHK, as not as the health minister, would I support a 2% levy? I would not support a 2% levy because I believe that we should be able to manage our finances properly, and the budget should be correct from the beginning. But obviously, with rising costs, and I'm seeing it from a different side, and I'm seeing as the health minister that we are in it's not just us, in terms of, we're not alone in this in terms of a global impact. And so we do have to look at how we fund our healthcare. But this is not something that I see coming forward anytime soon.
Okay.
My job is to make sure that we can, I can confidently say to the Manx public, this is where we're at. This is how much it costs. We are efficient. We have been efficient, and over this period of time, and we know that it costs us more to do X, Y, and Z, and have a conversation with the public about what do we want our health service to provide.
Okay. All right, Julian.
Yeah. Few question marks. For example, there's been a lot of questions about the number of staff that have been allocated into Manx Care and what's all that about, and are they front facing? You mentioned earlier, Claire, about something around £1,000 for non-common travel area people with a visa coming here. But the per capita spend on the island for Manx hospital, healthcare, is £4,500. So are we excusing £3,000 that they should be paying? And I noticed that the NHS compared, Manx Care spending is increasing 70% faster than the NHS in the UK is.
Where'd you get the figure from, Julian?
You just look at the total amounts that we're up at 387. This is over the last 5 years. And you look at the actual, I know it's diluted by numbers, but the amount that's spent for each person on healthcare on the island is £4,500. In the UK, it's £2,800. And yet we are actually purchasing and procuring stuff from the UK. So it's kind of weird. But we're accelerating at a huge rate in terms of how much we're spending. But we're also seem to be bringing in a heck of a lot of people onto into Manx Care. And like I said, we've got this levy that seems to want to be pressed through. But we've not had any kind of an audit or report on where all these massive overspends are. I find it hard to believe that it's drug costs. I would have thought it's more likely that there's been a load of people brought in here that, are we looking at managers managing managers? Or what is this overspend all about? Because it seems to be getting out of control.
Okay. All right. Just a final word on this, Claire Christian,
because
we have to move on.
So, Julian, I can tell you that the Timwald Auditor General is, through a motion that came through Timwald, is looking. I haven't had an update from him. He's a parliamentary position, but he is looking at doing an audit on Manx Care. And so I think that you're absolutely right to say that something like that should be done. In terms of the NHS levy, The immigration healthcare surcharge. So I must get the two correct. So when you're saying should they be paying more? I think that it is a good debate. I think when you certainly initially, what we have to do is we have to introduce something like that. And I think mirroring the UK to start with is definitely the starting point. In terms of our healthcare system, we are very different to the UK. You will be aware, Julian, obviously sending patients to the UK is very costly, and we have to, as per the NHS Act, we have to provide that healthcare and be able to do that, whether that's on the island or off the island. So it's really important that we, and you know what, you've just raised a really good point, because actually what all this is around is good communication and really being able to communicate to the public what really are our costs. And I think that I can definitely do a better job in that, Julian, and to really educate the people around us, so that they when I say a drug cost does go up. So for example, I was given an example of one drug which was cost a penny, and because it's there's a national shortage, Julian, this drug we've had to put Manx Care have had to purchase an alternative, which the cost of that was a pound. So it's an exceptionally different cost, but it's communicating that. So you're right to say, oh, I'm a bit dubious about the information on higher drug costs, but actually let's get that information out. Let's really talk to the public so that they can understand what pressures that Manx Care and the DHSC are under.
Okay, Julian, thank you. I want to go to Linda, who's going to be with us now. Linda's on. Hello, Linda. You're live with the Department of Health and Social Care.
Lovely. Thanks very much. And good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon.
I would like to ask you, please, whether it is Manx Care's intention to have secondary cancer patients feel like second-class citizens on the Isle of Man. And I say that because, in case anyone who's listening doesn't know, secondary cancer is where it's advanced or stage four, so it's moved from the original site to other parts of the body, and then it's incurable. And the reason that I suggest that we might feel like second-class citizens is that there are medications which are available free to the patient in many, many countries, but not here in the Isle of Man. For example, in Scotland, Enhertu is available free of charge to patients, but it's not available here. Why are we not following Scotland's example and giving that to patients for free here?
Claire Christian.
Thank you, Linda. Obviously, I just to sort of set for initially say, I don't obviously have the knowledge of the different types of drugs that would be out there and available. But that's absolutely something that I would say, if you would be happy to share your details, that we could absolutely get back to you and take that. I am very interested in hearing what you're saying, because I think, as I said, I like to be close to the front line. This is what's great about these kind of shows, to really sort of hear that. Tim, if you want to add anything to that.
We can pick that up and absolutely hear what you're saying. And from my point of view, we've talked about this, Minister, cancer waiting times, the activity we deliver around patients who are either diagnosed with cancer or might be diagnosed, is something that's a real priority for us. Mm-hmm. Very happy to pick up a conversation offline as well, if that would help.
Linda, are you happy with us to take your details and the Minister will be in touch?
Extremely happy for that. Thank you very much,
Linda. And what I would say is, we do have actually a patient. We have the new one of the new matrons, the patient experience. And actually, what I would really love to do is get her in contact with you as well, if you're open to that, and to talk about your experience that you have had through this, so that it really does concern me that you feel a secondary, to the patient. You shouldn't feel like that.
All right. Thanks, Linda. The Minister will be in touch, and we'll. It's 11 minutes before one now.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3, and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern, energy efficient living with ground floor, underfloor heating, and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors, and and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Spectrum Windows.
If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain,
keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows.
Find a hidden gem in the Isle of Man, the Abbey Restaurant Ballasalla. This old country house offers a relaxed and sophisticated atmosphere where you can wind down with unique and interesting fresh food and drinks. From dinner with fine wines to tea and exquisite cakes. Enjoy our fantastic lunch menu with fresh specials or join us for afternoon tea and dinner. To book, click the abbey.im, find the Abbey on Facebook or call 822-393.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today, you did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And the DHSC is on today with Claire Christian, MHK, the Health and Social Care Minister. And Tim O'Neill is here. Tim is the Interim Chief Officer at Department of Health and Social Care. Just a quick word, Claire Christian, about this leaked email or letter from Manx Care. When we learned about potential changes to Manx Care's operations through leaked internal emails rather than open public statement, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, you as a backbencher were passionate about transparency. How do you feel about things like this?
Yeah, hugely. It's massively important. I mentioned about communication earlier. It's something that we have to get better on. And, you know, speaking to the senior executives about that over the past couple of days, you know, whether it's leaked or not, as far as I'm concerned, it's about information that the public should be aware of. And obviously, there aren't the sort of the spin that, you know, that really upsets and hurts the public, because that's certainly, I know, and I mentioned earlier about people contacting me, I've had some very distressed people that are obviously again concerned that that there are going to be cuts, and this wasn't a cut, this was again about utilisation. The number of planned appointments and surgical operations have not changed, and I cannot stress that enough, Andy, that this, you know, that will absolutely maintain to the mandated operating levels that has been agreed. They increased some of the theatre schedules and that hasn't been utilised, and so making efficiencies and making sure that they're not wasting I guess money, you know, in terms of that, that's what they're doing.
Okay.
So this comes back to a little bit to, you know, the governance review. You know, we are currently, as the DHSE, in terms separated from, you know, operational decisions, and, you know, obviously the Manx Care do make these decisions, and they do inform us, and they did inform us, and we obviously listen to what they say. But in terms of how they communicate that, that's absolutely something that they agree, we agree, that we must get better at.
Okay. Tim O'Neill as Interim Chief Officer now, I mean, you as an experienced civil servant, can you see a way through this? Can you see a way that this kind of Gordian knot can be cut? And somebody somewhere can just say, look, this is what it's going to cost, and tell the public.
I can see a way through it. The conversation has already moved on in my opinion over the last few months in terms of moving to a point where we understand what the cost of care actually looks like, and there are various things which I won't bore the listener with now in the plan for this year to try and realise that. It will continue to be an ongoing conversation with the public, not least since we are, because we're an island, we're relatively unusual in the way our health and social care is delivered, and we're trying to deliver a lot of improvement activity at the same time. We have some incredible practitioners and consultants and clinicians and social care experts on the island, but as the Minister was saying, we want to make that as efficient and as effective as possible, not least because, you know, we're masters and mistresses of our own domain. Yeah. So we need to make that right. But I think, yeah, certainly over the longer term, one of the critical bits for me is building confidence, doing more of this conversation actually with residents, with local people, through this kind of vehicle to get the message across that, yep, that is tough, but we all need to stand behind ensuring we get the system to work for all residents. But I am confident we're moving in the right direction, Andy. Yeah.
Okay. Do they have these problems in Jersey and Guernsey and other island kind of regimes?
Andy, not for me to speak for other jurisdictions, obviously, but I would say that similar problems exist in other island jurisdictions, definitely. We have a couple of members of staff working for us at the moment who've worked in other island contexts, and they do feedback. They have very similar issues, and we have very good operational and strategic links with other islands to try and learn from what's happened elsewhere, but also share our good practice, and that will continue.
Okay. Claire Christian, just going back to the fact that, well, as I say, you were, how can I put it, enthusiastic, vocal as a backbencher in things like this. So, and again, as on a political level, how close do you think the DHSC is, along with Manx Care, to getting this whole situation on track?
So you're right. I am still vocal, and I think the one thing that was different, certainly in this scenario, was when the information was out in the public domain, I was certainly quick to contact my colleagues and to reassure them that this was the situation, and be very open there, you know, for them to contact me should any constituents have any concerns. So that's something that I hope is different, and I can only do my best in that area. But you know, this is where the governance review is so important, because it isn't, you know, what is governance? And governance is essentially how things and how things integrate and how things work together, and what does it work together, and right, does it work separately? And I think that's what's really important. It's the right time to look at it, because obviously Manx Care have been in place since 2021 now, and it's really important that we get this right for the Manx public.
Okay, well, we appreciated.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming in today, Claire Christian.
We'll come back whenever you want.
Tim O'Neill, yes, we'll see. Before Christmas, will that be okay?
Absolutely.
Right, we'd love to hear that. Right. Thanks to Claire Christian and Tim O'Neill from the DHSC in today. If you've got anything you want to follow up, by all means, you can call the answer phone on 682 631. Email manandline@manxradio.com. And we're back with an open line tomorrow if you want to reflect on anything from today, from Friday at the Royal Show with the Treasury Minister on Thursday, by all means do get in touch. That's it. Thanks to Alex on the phones today, and thanks to you. Lots of questions we didn't get to, lots of calls we didn't get to, but maybe next time. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday. WINT